Jules. This is the Nick and Jules podcast.
Got both of those, so that's good. the new intro to the podcast brought to you by Jules and producer Aaliyah.
Okay. I did see and this McDonald's. TikTok and McDonald's. I did see this TikTok that said if you're ever in a bad mood, just go, yeah, and you'll instantly feel better.
Yeah.
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 I don't.
No. You got to, like, Ariana Usher? Grande style, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't hers be like, yeah.
No. Do you listen to Ariana Grande?
She's got a very specific voice. Not.
Yeah.
Oh, she yeah.
She does a lot of yes.
I'm Ariana Grande.
She British.
I'm Ariana Grande.
We're never having her on the show.
Why would you need to?
Well, the podcast.
She listens religiously.
For the podcast, I wanted to quickly ask you, we talked about on the show today, I don't think it's going to make the podcast, but we talked about bad haircuts. We also touched on it yesterday in the show, about a woman that sued her hairdresser for $12,000. You talked about earlier, your bad haircut in year 9.
Yes.
With a sweepy fringe and a mullet.
Yeah. And a bowl cut.
And a bowl cut.
All
it
in
was
one.
All three bad, bad
What's
things.
The experience of walking into school post that?
To be honest, I think I've trauma blocked it out of my head because I really don't remember. I just remember that I saw my first boyfriend like the next day. For his birthday after I got this haircut.
A present, babe. I hope you like this.
There was almost no reaction from him.
Yeah, probably. Honestly, that's almost the best case scenario you could have.
He did well for a, 16-year-old.
To be fair, at that age, having like a boyfriend or girlfriend, you'd be like, anything, you know, sure, you cut off one of your fingers and, you know.
You're still beautiful, babe. I still love you.
I'm just happy to be talking to someone of the opposite sex.
Happy to be here. Oh, dear.
Was a bold move for your hairdresser to be inspired by? Did you say it was like anime and drama?
Yeah, so I told her I was really into anime and Korean dramas and listening to a lot of K-pop at the time. Mm. Yeah. So that must have been like the hairstyle for that.
But it wasn't even like confirmation you wanted anything like that.
No,
but
it wasn't.
She freestyled.
Is she still a hairdresser?
I think she is.
Oh, no.
We'll have to revoke the license. Do you need a license, do you reckon, to be a hairdresser? You must,
right?
You need
an apprenticeship.
Yeah, some sort of qualification.
And someone to hire you unless you start your own business, I suppose.
Oh, interesting. Mm. I have a friend who's like 16 and he's a barber and he like cuts hair and stuff. And
really?
They usually start pretty young. Like I know they'll do TAFE and stuff like that. Mm. And then they'll often, after they've done TAFE, they then work part-time for some place and it's usually like cleaning up the hair, and then maybe they're allowed to massage the client's heads and stuff like that before. Hey,
what a dream.
Can I massage their head? We'd really rather you didn't, actually.
Girl was allowed to braid my hair, one of the apprentices.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like what kind of braid? Like a box braid? Like those ones you get in Fiji? Like what's the...
No.
Cornrows.
Just two braids. I don't know. Just normal.
Oh.
The rope-a-dope.
Like a French... Oh.
French? Yeah.
Well, the French one is the over and the Dutch one
under.
Is the under.
Oh yeah, two Dutch.
I know how to do that.
There we go.
I'll do it for
me
you
too.
Next time.
I know how to do it, but I want her to do it for me.
I love it. We'll braid Nick's hair.
Absolutely.
Next week.
Hemorrhaging listeners right now.
They know what we're talking about, all right? Maybe. Possibly.
They're more likely to know about that than I am.
The point is, this girl wasn't to be trusted with anything with permanent damage.
Mm.
Well, colour or scissors.
Do you think they could give a safety scissor?
Mm. Like those ones in kindergarten.
Yeah, or the ones that,
those ones that can barely cut paper.
I don't know if you ever used Play-Doh scissors or like where it's like a blunt scissor, but it can obviously cut Play-Doh because Play-Doh is so malleable.
Ah.
And it's just a little, it's like can't really cut hair with it. Because I think preschool and like primary school safety scissors you probably could cut with. Probably could cut hair with.
Mm. Oh, yeah, because you could cut paper, so you could cut hair.
You cut paper, you can cut hair.
Mm.
All right, that's the podcast. all right, in today's podcast, we have James Lake from the newsroom to talk to us about D'Andrews, who's departing.
See ya.
And Guy Montgomery, who is entering the door on Thank God You're Here Tonight.
One door closes, another door opens. Not related to each other, but they're both on the podcast.
We don't know.
Long lost cousin.
Gotta do one of those 23andMe or those heritage testing.
True.
Make it happen. All right, see you tomorrow, everyone.
Thanks.
Right now, like the rest of Victoria, we are reeling after learning yesterday that D'Andrews, the Premier, will be stepping down today. His final day in office. Once, you know, close of business comes around, he's out.
After 9 years. What a tenancy.
Leaves a lot of questions. That's why we go to the newsroom right now with our reporter, journo extraordinaire, James Lake. Good morning, mate.
Very, very good morning to you guys. I mean, what a both a surprise and also not a surprise at the same time, because so many people have been saying that even before last year's state election that Dan might not have had very long left.
Mm.
But he, dropped that bombshell yesterday. And maybe, you know, grand final week, he wanted to go out without too much fanfare because people are distracted with other things.
Hey, honestly, good move. I guess maybe that's what it is, because you do say that, yeah, it's been talked about for a long time. And I think a lot of people have been, whatever side of the fence you sit on, haven't expected him to sit around for much longer. Why now? Is it genuinely, hey, we've got the AFL grand final to distract, or is there another move behind it?
Mate, big question, and I wish that I had all of those answers for you. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that hasn't surfaced yet, I suppose I could say, in terms of, you know, corruption allegations and corruption investigations, reports that haven't been released yet. So there are things that we don't necessarily know, findings that have been buried when there have been investigations into the Andrews government. You know, there's still the political fallout as well from cancelling a lot of things during his time, like the Commonwealth Games, which is the most recent one, and just the fallout financially for Victoria in terms of the state debt, how much we've paid for these cancellations of things like the East-West Tunnel, the East-West Link Tunnel in Melbourne, the Games, cost blowouts on other big projects. So that's just been weighing down on the premier, essentially, with people asking how long can Victoria keep going in this position? And maybe Dan has said, well, you know, I don't really have the answers anymore. Let someone else have a go.
Yeah, it's a huge legacy left behind, whether you want to look at it favourably or not. But I guess it's a big job for whoever steps up to the plate now, whether they take on a certain amount of debt or fixing the reputation, I suppose. Do we know any details about his replacement, or, you know, who's the betting odds to take over?
Yeah, there really is only one front runner at this stage, Jacinta Allen, who's the Deputy Premier and has been since June of last year. So really, you know, the right-hand person to Dan for just over 12 months, but has long been groomed, I suppose, to be the next leader of our state. There is another potential but unlikely contender in Ben Carroll, a lesser-known politician. Look, Jacinta Allen has had her hands on a lot of very important portfolios, mainly transport and major projects jobs. So we're going to see if Jacinta Allen really is the only one who puts her hand up today. The caucus will meet at midday to start the process of, you know, voting in who that next leader will be. And if there is only one contender, then it's a shoo-in. But if more than one person puts their hand up, then it could actually be a couple of weeks still before a final decision is known.
What kind of state does she inherit? Because obviously, if it ends up being Jacinta Allen or anyone else that does step up to the plate, will they be actually tasked with fixing things? Like, what will their, I guess, be their first hurdles be once they jump in?
I hate to say it, but dealing with the debt, you know, Victoria has a lot more debt than we've had in, you know, more than, you know, 20 or 30 years. And so the issue will be, how can we keep paying for things like public service, literally keeping hospitals and schools open while still paying for big projects that have to happen? And there are a lot of projects essentially that are on the board that have been promised that this government has three more years to run and hopefully get done if they want a chance of being re-elected again. So how do you rein in the state's finances? And, you know, another big one is, I mentioned the Comm Games earlier on, there are a lot of things promised for the Commonwealth Games in terms of housing and infrastructure. For a lot of listeners today, they're going to be wondering, you know, are those things still going to be a priority for a government with a new leader? Do we see that happening? Or, you know, sometimes what happens when there is a change of leadership, things just get brushed under the rug and hopefully forgotten by people so that they can move on with a new agenda.
I don't envy the person that steps up to the plate and has to deal with this now.
But, not at
you know,
all.
We need to have a leader. Final question. I don't know, James, if you know much about this, but what happens with the ex-premiers? Do they sort of get a nice little paycheck based on how long they've served? What does Dan get to do now that he's handed the baton away?
Based on how long you serve and what roles you are in, you receive a pension annually ranging between $84,000 and $126,000. Now, that's probably been indexed and increased. So at the very least, considering he's been premier for three terms, $126,000 a year as a pretty pension. On top of, you know, many investments and I'm sure many endorsements, many speaking deals that he might have. But Dan probably deserves a holiday to start with.
Yeah,
take your time off. There's a lot of up in the air at the moment, which I guess we look forward to somewhat getting some questions answered in the coming days and weeks and months ahead. James Lake from the newsroom, filling us in on Dan Andrews' departure. And is it actually technically close of business when he steps out today, James? Is it
technically,
five?
Yeah, 5 o'clock today is when he said he will resign by.
So he's in his final hours. James Lake from the newsroom, thanks for your time this morning, mate.
Thank you very much.
I understand I've been talking about it a lot, but yeah, I'm doing a half marathon. Running. And it's in a few weeks' time, and after that, I promise, we'll put a cap on that. But it's just this whole new world Jules been introduced to that I don't really understand.
What do you mean? You've run before, you enjoy running.
But never as frequently or as long or as, I guess, intense as I have been these last few weeks. And as I've been doing that, just small little things have been happening. And I go, that's interesting. I didn't know other runners put up with this.
Are you talking about the snake?
No, not the snake. Oh, okay. I've been running. I've been coming across a lot of snakes lately. But that's. Yes. I think that might be just a a bush thing.
Yeah, right.
It's just where I choose to run. Now, what has been happening the last few weeks, and then yesterday I ran, and it happened like 4 or 5 times over the space of 40 minutes or so. And these people, as I'm running along, like just minding my own business, like they kind of slow down, almost like a drive-by shooting, and then they just go like. And I, because I got music in my headphones in, I don't know what they're saying. They're like, and just yell at me and then drive off.
What, in the middle of the day?
Middle of the day?
Middle of the day, people are winding down their windows as you're driving.
Yeah, to like heckle me while I'm running.
Are you sure they're heckling you? They're not cheering you on because you.
It seems aggressive.
Have you got something you're listening to?
I have got stuff I'm listening to. I'm usually just listening to music or, again, the Nick and Jules podcast when I'm a listener. But,
catching up on your own stories.
Yeah, I don't know. He's always got to be workshopping. But they'll pull over and they'll heckle. And they'll beep horns. I don't understand why. Like, what could can I be running that incorrectly that they feel the need to give me feedback?
So what are you using this platform for? Are you going to try and find out what's happened?
Well, if you, here's the thing. If you've seen a shirtless man running between sort of 12 and 4 p.m. most days, if you've seen that guy, he's red-faced, he's got no hair, and he has arguably bad sunglasses on because
I need to see these sunnies.
I bought some running sunglasses.
Are they speed dealers?
They're next level. They're what speed dealers grow up to be.
Oh, please bring them in for show and tell.
I'm realizing now as I put it together why people are like, who is this shirtless man in short shorts wearing speed dealer sunglasses? Drenched in sweat walking around my neighborhood at the middle of the day. They're obviously just trying to scare me off. Season finale tonight for Thank God You're Here. Season 5, which has been back on our screens for a few weeks now. Very exciting. You can catch it 7:30 on 10 and 10 Play. Make sure you do all the catch up because there's plenty of good episodes there.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight, stepping through that blue door, making her debut, Kitty Flanagan, as well as a few return performers, Marnie Sheargold, Emma Holland, and the man on the line with us right now, Guy Montgomery. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning to Nick, and also a big good morning to Jules. And also a huge good morning to you, the listener.
Oh, Guy.
Very considerate, Guy. Look,
gentlemen.
It's very exciting to have you back on. It's been exciting to have the show back in general. Mate, we saw you step through and do a bit of a tech. I don't know, what are those? Are they like the tech fun? What are they called?
They've got a fancy name.
Guy, what are they called? What did you do in your first scene?
I was in a skivvy and I had to walk through the door and I had to sort of present the new design features on a phone that I had purportedly designed.
Yes.
I don't know what you'd call it, like a launch event, I guess, in the tech world.
Very Apple-y, you know.
Yeah, Steve Jobs-y.
You walked in, exactly looking like what you imagine as Steve Jobs would. I find that a lot of the people that have gone on so far, they sort of, the costumes can be a bit ambiguous.
Mm.
Going in, did you feel quietly confident about what you're about to do?
Yeah, I did. I thought I had ProVid, which I think was the name of the phone on the skivvy. So I thought it could have been the only other inkling I had was maybe I was going to work at some sort of video store. You know, it could be a throwback to like a Blockbuster style business, and I was going to have to rent out videos to disgruntled customers. Obviously, even talking about it now, the amount of detail I've gone into, I was clearly preparing a little bit for that.
Yeah.
But as it turns out, I was telling people about a phone.
All right. And you did it remarkably well. We went out and we bought it. We invested. We got the stocks. Guy, tonight, as you go through again, do you have an advantage having done it once before in fairly recent memory?
It's funny you ask. I think actually the second time you're more nervous because the first time it's obviously such a thrill and you do, your adrenaline is spiking, but you just got no idea what's going to happen. And you might absolutely torpedo it or something. And then if you do it once, you get to do it again. And all of a sudden you think, hey, I could actually be okay at this. And, you know, you've let go of the possibility of being terrible. And you think, I don't know. I sort of felt like under more pressure to be good.
I'm curious, Guy, because you're a stand-up comic. You know, you'd probably spend the time, I imagine, you know, crafting your jokes and really honing in on that. I'm curious to know, do you watch your scenes back and sort of analyze it from the viewpoint, hey, I'm going into another one, or could I improve there? Or do you look at it from the analytical point of view, or just go, let's go in with a bit of fun and see what happens?
I think I did that more with other people's scenarios, where I watched them back and I'd be like, well, you know, it's also, all of the scenarios are so unique to, like the first one I went through, it was just me and two other people, and there wasn't a lot of physical props to play with. It was quite a sparse set. And then I watched on the same night, I saw Virginia Gay, and there were so many moving parts and bits and pieces, and she really embraced the whole scenario. So it's a funny thing where it's like the only prep you can do really is to spend a day feeling slightly anxious, because ultimately you've got no control. You're going through there and you're going to do whatever's put in front of you. But I think there is merit in watching some stuff back and being like, oh, it is quite good fun to watch. You know, as an audience member, it's fun to watch it and see what resonates with you, which would be different for everyone. But seeing someone walk around and pick stuff up and look at it, like the props in the art department have done such a thorough and phenomenal job on those sets. You're almost doing a disservice not to try and break stuff, you know, and muck around.
Guy, you talk about having watched back other people's, and you know, on tonight you're with Marty Sheargold. Do you watch hypothetically like a Marty Sheargold scene? And you see, because he was on like a kids show a few episodes back. Do you get moderately jealous of other scenarios that other people get put in? You know, getting given extra props and different things, or are you content?
You sort of have to be. You know, you have to be content. I think, you know, buried in the innocuous question about what do I think about, you know, other people's scenarios, I feel like it's a mantra I try to apply to life. There's not a lot of value in looking at other people's stuff and being like, oh, that'd be good for me. I mean, of course, some of it would be, but ultimately, you're just given what you're given. Like, for me to get to do it at all is such a privilege, and just, it's such an unbelievable, like, it is one of the greatest professional experiences of my life, to just give control over, because there's no prep. Like, there's nothing I can do to get ready. It's actually, I wouldn't call it a relaxing day at work, because if you were to chart someone's sort of, you know, nerves or heartbeat across a whole day, it'd be pretty flat. But it does jump right up. But like, it's unreal. Like, I watched this. This is on New Zealand Telly. I watched this show. I didn't know that they were going to bring it back, and if they ever did, I didn't know that I was going to get to do it.
Yeah. It's a nice tap on the shoulder to get, and oddly philosophical as well in there, as unexpected. Look, Guy, we are excited to see you walk through that door for the season finale this evening. Catch it on 10 and 10 Play at 7:30 tonight. Thank God you're here. Season 5. We've got the debut of Kitty Flanagan to look forward to, Marty Sheargold, Emma Holland, and Guy as well. Thanks for your time this morning.
Hey, thank you so much to Nick and Jules, and of course to you, the listener.
Nick and Jules. That was the Nick and Jules podcast.